Well, I began this, actually I never planned on preaching the book of Titus this summer. I originally planned to do summer in the book of Psalms. And I'm glad I didn't, because two of my buddies here in town were also preaching on the book of Psalms in the summer, and that wouldn't look too good. Looked like maybe we were copying each other, but I decided some time ago to look at the book of Titus this summer. I began this series in Titus back in on May the 19th, and there's no way I could have foreseen the events that would unfold in our city over the last few months when I began. In fact, I didn't really choose the book of Titus for any reason whatsoever, except that we had done a lot of the Old Testament, and I wanted to do something in the New Testament. I wanted to do one of Paul's letters, and this seemed like a good one because it focused on church leadership and sound doctrine and good works. I simply want to preach this text today as it is, as if nothing were happening in our city, so to speak, or had happened in our city, or will happen. I simply want to preach this text as I would normally, but I understand that simply because of the recent events and today, even the events down the hill, it may be a little sharp. But I want to preach God's Word. That's my primary job. And I want to do it today in a way that's loving and gentle, but also in a way that is accurate or clear. Let's pray together as we begin. God, you know what my needs are this morning. You know that I am accountable to you. I will give an account someday standing before you of how I have preached this word. And so it's a scary thing. So I pray that you will help me today through the Holy Spirit to be clear and to be helpful to our body. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you have a Bible, you'll want to be in Titus chapter 3. That's where we are today, verses 1 through 8. And let's start. I want to just read verses 1 and 2 for you, which is where we'll spend most of the time. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. I'll skip the other verses. So my main point today, I want to begin by telling you the main point and telling you some of the points I'm going to go through, and then we're going to actually look at it. So my main point today that I want to give to you is this: God's grace towards us fuels us for good works. God's grace towards us should or can fuel us for good works. And in this passage today, we're going to see this in relation to two things. Number one, the government, and number two, the general public. And then we're going to actually look at the reasons why I say God's goodness and God's grace should fuel us for good works in the world. It's exactly what he is wanting to get at in the book of Titus. You've got these churches scattered all over this island, and what they're doing is we had some false teachers, remember? And so the way that what they believe, their sound doctrine that he wants these elders to teach these churches is going to affect the way that they live and the way that they witness to the world. And so he's giving them some pretty simple instructions And it's not the only place, as we'll see. So right as we look at it, chapter 3 starts out with the words, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities. This word, remind them, we don't have this grammar in English, but literally what it means is to keep on continually reminding them. It's a present tense, continuous, where they are to keep on continually reminding them to be submissive to rulers and authorities. So these churches in Crete, they are to, Timothy is to keep on continually telling them that they are to be submissive to rulers and authorities that are on the island, and to be obedient and to be ready for every good work. So this is obviously in relation to government. Now, these phrases actually do go together. When you read this, you might want to pick them apart and say, well, this first one applies to government, and then the other ones just mean we're supposed to be obedient. But there's no obedient to whom. And actually, in the grammar, in the syntax, in the Greek, it points to the first phrase. So remind them, or to keep on continually reminding them, to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient to the rulers and authorities. That's actually what it says. And then to be ready for every good work. And that to be ready for every good work also relates to the submitting to rulers and authorities and be obedient. Now, the New Testament mentions, if you were just to look in your Bible in the New Testament, and you were to look at, okay, what does the Bible have to say about how Christians are to relate to government in the world, you have basically three main passages. One, besides of a lot of things Jesus said, but you have one, what we're looking at today in Titus, and then also in Romans 13, well, really starting in chapter 12, and then 1 Peter. We're going to take a look at those. And the reason is because I want you to see the consistency in these passages. But the general idea is that in the New Testament, Christians are to obey the government that they live in, amongst whom they live in, except when, I preached on this back in June, except when the government is telling them not to obey God. Okay, so think of the Hebrew midwives when Pharaoh says, you are to kill all the babies. And they say, well, no, the Bible says, thou shalt not murder. So they didn't do that. So there are many instances in the Old Testament where people disobeyed the government for good reason, because government was telling them to disobey God. Remember, God is here. God is above governments. And so we are ultimately to obey God, but we are to also to obey the government unless they tell us to disobey God. So I preached on that. You can look on the website and you can get that. But in all three of these passages, in Romans, Titus, and 1 Peter, we have some similar wording, and that is that we are to do good and to do good works in relation to the government. And I want to show you those. So let's look at Romans 13. It'll be on the screen. Romans 13, 1 through 3. Now, I said this goes back to Romans 12. Actually, it goes back to Romans 12, 14, I believe it is, where he says, bless those who persecute you. And then he talks more about those things. But let's look in verse 1 and 3 of chapter 13. Listen, when I read these passages, it's shocking to me what the Bible says about this. Let every person be subject, which is the same word for submit, to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. So what I want you to see there is that in these passages where it talks about submitting to authority, it also says that we are to do good or to do good works. 1 Peter chapter 2, very similar. Verse 13, be subject to the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as literally slaves of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Now, if you know history at all, you would be very shocked to see that Peter would be writing, honor the emperor of Rome. Some people would probably read that and just hate it. But I want you to see that in these three passages where it talks about government, it also says that we should be doing good. We should be doing good works. That's what Christians are supposed to be doing in relation to the government. So be submissive to rulers, back in Titus, be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, and to be ready for every good work. So that's in relation to government. How you want to apply that, I will leave that up to the Holy Spirit to tell you how to do good works in this world amongst, in relation to the government. So what about the next phrase? Titus chapter 3, verse 2 says this, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. Now, when we read these things, are we to think of these things as separate from the first ones? Are they in relation to the government? Or are these things are just supposed to be in relation to society in general? Well, how do we know? Well, I believe this is to the general public, and the reason why it seems so clear is because in verse 2 he says, speak evil of no one. That's a very general phrase. Speak evil of no one. And down in later on he says, show perfect courtesy toward all people. Literally he says, show all courtesy to all people. We'll look at these one by one. So the first one, to speak evil of no one. What does that mean? It's actually the Greek word for blasphemy. It says, speak evil of no one. Now, we know that this does not mean to never say anything bad about anyone. Because if that's true, Paul is a hypocrite with a very short memory. Because in chapter 1, Paul says of the false teachers on the island of Crete that they are liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. I would consider that speaking evil of someone. And he says this testimony is true. So what does he mean? What does he mean? Well, as I researched this, I think one commentary says it best. New International Greek Testament commentary says this, restraining our natural inclination to say the worst about people. Restraining our natural inclination to say the worst about people. Isn't it most of our, including myself, our natural inclination to say the worst about people? I mean, if we were to really be honest with ourselves, I could say about my own self that, man, it's just really easy to say the worst about people instead of saying the best. My natural inclination in my sinful flesh is to say the worst about people, not the best. I dare say that if our righteousness extended just this far in this passage, to speak evil of no one, if we could wholly obey God in this one simple phrase, we would shine like stars in the universe. Can you imagine what it would be like if you were a person, if I was a person, that we just simply spoke evil of no one? Well, we would stand out. We would not be complainers, but we would shine like stars in the sky. How would our city be transformed if all of us Christians were known as people of, well, Christians, I can tell you one thing about Christians. They speak evil of no one. The next one, we have two more, to avoid quarreling and to be gentle. Now, these phrases actually go together in the Bible, to avoid quarreling and to be gentle. It's only found together in one other passage, 1 Timothy 3:3, and in both of these passages, they say the same thing. So first one, to avoid quarreling, is pretty simple. It simply means not fighting. Not fighting. But instead, the positive would be to be gentle. To be gentle. It seems I've been running into the word gentle quite a bit lately in various ways. It would not be a character that I would think of myself as, but I desperately need to be gentle. What is gentleness? I think one definition that someone gave a long time ago that I had written down in some notes in Evernote is this. It means sweet reasonableness. It is translated reasonableness in some ways, but a sweet kind of reasonableness is gentleness. When I read the word gentle, I feel very far away from being like Christ. Actually, when I read these passages in Titus 3, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, and to be gentle, to show perfect courtesy toward all people, I feel very far away from who Christ wants me to be. To show perfect courtesy toward all people, the last one. It literally means to demonstrate all courtesy to every single person. Think about that. I mean, this is a serious Christian ethic that is staggeringly weighty. To show perfect courtesy toward every person. This is something to strive for, isn't it? What would it look like for a group of people in society to be so zealous for good works in such a way, to be speaking evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, to show perfect courtesy toward all people? It would make us a people, which it said in Titus 3:14, a people for His own possession. A people who truly, they would say, those people, of all people, those are God's people. They belong to Jesus Christ. This is how Christians are to do good works toward the government and to the general public. We are to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. When I was living in mainland China, this was one of the verses that I felt like living in the mainland, if I could just do these things, I would be successful. Well, what's the fuel? That's my question. When I read this, I see these, we could call it Christian ethics, we see these commands of God. I read these, and the first thing I see is, that's not me. And how do I get there? Do I just become disappointed? Well, I think that the text has an answer. Where does the fuel come from? How can we or I be so transformed that our conduct in society reflects our Lord in such a way? Because we know Jesus was that way. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When they ripped out his beard, when they spit in his face, when they hit him with their fists and said, "Prophesy, who hit you?" What did he do? Not a word. He opened not his mouth. That's amazing. I think the answer is in the text in chapter 3, verse 3. Notice the first word, "for." So we have all of these things, these great commands that we are supposed to do, that they are supposed to do. And then the first word is "for." We ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. What is it that fuels us for good works? I think it's God's grace towards us. I think if we truly understand God's grace towards us continually, it will fuel us for good works in this world in relation to the government and in relation to the general public. For we were once just like them, meaning unbelievers. I'm not sure sometimes if we really always believe that. I think part of the reason why we aren't devoted to good works in society is because maybe we don't have a clear understanding of where we've come from and who we were apart from Christ. Some Christians think that they're pretty good people who simply made the right decision to follow Jesus, and then Jesus just made them a little better than they already were. But that's not what the Scripture says. He saved us by pure mercy, and by His goodness, grace, and loving kindness. When we were gross and rebellious and filled with hate, He poured out the Holy Spirit on us and changed us. And all of this was accomplished by one good work, the good work of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. Jesus Christ, we talked about it last week, did one good work. He died on the cross. He gave Himself for us. And because of the grace of God, through and in Jesus Christ, we are now empowered to do good works. So maybe we've forgotten the gospel sometimes. But there's one more word, while I close, there's one more word that I think is key here. I've really wrestled with this passage and tried to help myself know, how can you help me here? How can you help us know? Why can you say, God, that we should submit to governments and be obedient and be ready for every good work and show perfect courtesy to all people? Why can we do that? I think part of the key is in verse 7, where it says, being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. not heirs, but heirs. What's an heir? I looked it up in the dictionary just to make sure I understood, as a native English speaker, just to make sure I understood the word heir. And Oxford American Dictionary says this: a person inheriting and continuing the legacy of a predecessor. Think about that. A person inheriting. So we are heirs, we are people inheriting and continuing the legacy of a predecessor. Who is that predecessor? It's Jesus Christ. We are continuing the legacy. We are not only inheriting something from Him, but we are also in this world continuing the legacy of a predecessor. What is it that we will receive? Anybody? What will we receive? Eternal life. The hope of, we are heirs of the hope of eternal life. We will receive a kingdom. A kingdom. That's why we can obey earthly governments. We can obey earthly kingdoms because our King rules over the earthly kingdoms. Jesus Christ is King of the kings, and He's Lord of the lords. That's why we can be zealous for good works in this little marble floating in space, because this little marble floating in space is not all that we have. It's just a temporary location, because we have a kingdom. I think that knowing who we have been and knowing who Christ has made us and knowing where we're going and what Christ will give us, what we will inherit, is the fuel for doing good works in this world. I hope that makes sense by God's grace. Let's pray together. God, I know that someday You will peel away the veil, and someday we will see not through a glass dimly, but we will see crystal clear, face to face. And we know on that day, everything will make sense. God, I pray that You'll help us as strangers and aliens, as we sojourn on this planet as a people for Your own possession, that You will give us the wisdom and the grace to know how to live in this world in such a way that it reflects who You are, how we relate to the governments that we live in, how we relate to everybody. God, would You empower us as a body that we might speak evil of no one. We might avoid quarreling. We might be ready for every good work. We might be gentle. We might show perfect courtesy toward everyone around us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.